Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running career on their first marathon experiences to show you that anyone can run a marathon. There's lots of stories in this one. This runner started his relationship with movement playing soccer and cross country in high school. And then from there, after having years of an unhealthy relationship and overall health and wellness, he had an epiphany moment where he went, maybe I shouldn't live such a sedentary life. Since then, he got back into running and has never looked back, and now has a marathon under his belt. Lots of great stories, like I mentioned in this one, so without further ado, please welcome Trevor. Trevor, thank you so much for making some time this weekend. It's great to meet you.
Surely. I've been looking forward to this for a while now. So.
Yeah. I'm excited to break down your journey. You've had, you've mentioned it before we started talking here, that you've got lots of stories from when you started in high school all the way up until now. So excited to kind of break down the entire journey for you.
Sure.
But before we get there, maybe we could touch on how you got involved in the running world in the first place.
So how I got started in the running world was when I was in high school. I played soccer up until 10th grade, and I just kind of decided that soccer wasn't for me anymore. I wasn't necessarily happy with my playing time and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I have a bunch of friends running cross country. I'll figure it out. I'm just going to go hang out with them. So it gives me something to do. So I ran cross country for the, you know, my 10th, 11th and 12th grade years of high school. I was an average runner. Like, I didn't score for points on the team or anything like that, but I had fun and I kept with it. And, you know, much like all dedicated high school runners, I would run through the season and then not run till about 2 weeks before the next season. And then I would drag myself into it and figure out, man, why can't I not get into shape?
Sure.
So that was most of my high school, like, running career. I still have a lot of good friends from that team. Actually, most of my friends from high school were people that I ran with on my cross country team. So we still stay in contact and still hang out, make time for each other and stuff like that. So that's been pretty big. Even though, like I said, I wasn't the best, fastest runner, I value those friendships. And so I'd say that's the most important thing that I took out of my high school running experience. And then fast forward 20 years, I haven't run since then. let me think how to even go with this. I kind of hit the, I drank a lot throughout those years, and I smoked way more cigarettes than I ever wanted to admit. And then one day I kind of had me and my sisters had the end of life talk with my parents. Nothing bad, but it's like, just doing this stuff before you have to do it, like,
sure,
who's signing what papers, where's money going, blah, 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 blah. And then it just kind of hit me like, oh, I'm not invincible anymore. This might not work out forever. I should probably do something instead of sitting and being as sedentary as possible. I'm going to run again. That sounds like fun. So I think the first time that I came back to running, I went down along the river down here, and I'm like, I'm just going to walk for 20 minutes. I figure that's about a mile, and I'm going to turn around and try and jog back. And it's hooked me ever since then. I really haven't stopped since last August, sans a few injuries, or since 2 Augusts ago, sans a couple injuries. Like, I haven't stopped since then. So it's been a good, rewarding, filling part of my life that I didn't realize I was missing. So I'm really glad that somehow I found that part of me again.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I'm curious, like you mentioned there, that there was something about it that you felt like you were missing. And then when it was back in your life, you were like, oh, okay, this is what was missing. Do you know what that was? Like, what feeling you were missing?
I think it's just the, simple answer is just the endorphins. Like I said, I didn't do much. I would go to work, I would come home from work, and then I'd sit and watch TV, or I'd sit and watch Netflix or whatever. And I'm like, like I said, I didn't realize how much of it was missing until I actually went out. I'm like, oh, I mean, for clearly getting started, you feel like crap, but like,
sure,
oh, I start feeling better. And it's not because I'm sitting down taking it easy. It's because muscles are developing and you're doing these things and, hey, you can do hard things. And I think that's really kind of where the base of it comes from.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And I think a lot of people will relate to that too on their first run, especially because you gave the disclaimer that probably doesn't feel awesome your first run, but it's that feeling of like, I accomplished something that you really get hooked on, I think.
It took me almost 6 weeks till I was able to run more than a mile and a half straight. I was trying to run 3-4 times a week. And I had talked to my one friend and she was like, oh, well, what are you drinking during the day? I'm like, oh, I drink a pot or two of coffee. She's like, how much water? I'm like, well, there's water in the coffee. She's like, you should try drinking some water. That's a good idea. She's like, oh, what do you eat during the day? I'm like, well, I eat once a day, but I eat a big meal, but I only eat once a day. She's like, no, you need to eat throughout the day as well. And literally as much as I got it, like a half gallon jug from the local Dick's, and I started eating breakfast and lunch that one day. And then that next day I tried to run at dinner time and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just ran 3.5 miles and I didn't stop. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should and this is clearly long before I know anything about how fueling and health and your diet are doing. This is just me dipping the toes into it and dipping my toes into getting obsessed with it. So started eating 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day. I started drinking a gallon or so of water a day. And I'm like, oh, you can feel good and not just die afterwards.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And that's a great friend to have really early on in your running career to really push you to do the right things early on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you said that you felt a major difference. Like what, the first time that you, you know, had full meals for the full day and you hydrated properly, what was that first run? What did that first run feel like, I guess?
So I always, when I first started running, I would go to 2 different places. I would either go, there's a local university that has their track open. And I was like, oh, well, 4 laps is a mile. So I kind of know where you're at any point during your run. So I'd either go run laps or there's a nice trail along the river. And from the one parking spot, it's 3 miles to the end of the island and back. And it was just so crazy that, like, being properly hydrated, I could finish a run and, you know, properly eating throughout the day, I could finish a run and like not have to pass out on the floor or on the ground, you know, for 20 minutes, just dying and trying to re-catch your breath and stuff like that. And it kind of, somewhere around after that first or second month of running, I started becoming a nerd and just obsessing over every inch of data I could find for myself. I started paying attention to everything that I ate. You know, I would plan my whole day around my evening runs, or I would plan the whole day about I'm going to run in the morning. So even though it wasn't a race day, I would carbo load if I knew I was going to run the next morning. Or, you know, I'd make sure, hey, I'm going to run tonight at lunch, so how about, you know, maybe a chicken sandwich and a salad instead of a burger and french fries and stuff like that. Just little things. And I really started to like analyze in on every aspect of my life and see what I was doing wrong, and at least in the lens of running. And that's because there was lots of improvements that, you know, I was able to very tangibly see very quick, like just starting with some of those little things and just really focusing in on that.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And it is like that, I think, in the beginning, where you're making a total lifestyle shift for a lot of us when we get into running. And all of those things that come along with the actual miles are really what kind of rounds out the entire experience and gets you hooked. And then the shoes come and you start getting interested in the technical side of things and all that.
Absolutely.
You really can dive in. But that's great that you were kind of head first. And did you have any goals at this point that you were aiming for, or were you just kind of getting out there?
So at that point, I'm like, I'm just going to get healthy. Maybe I'll run some 5Ks and whatnot. And I very quickly found and knew some people in the town where I worked, some people I had worked alongside of for a while. They're like, hey, well, you know, we run every Sunday. That sounds fantastic. I'll come run with you some Sunday morning. So I get together, and that would be our Sunday run day, fun day. We just go run. Sometimes we go for coffee afterwards. Fantastic. So I go run with them, and there's a local race around here on Thanksgiving Day called the Run for the Diamonds, and that's a 9-mile race. So a bunch of them were like, oh, you know, we run for the diamonds every year. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. Maybe I could do that. But I'm like, yeah, let's just work on 5Ks. Let's make sure we can get that first. So I would run 5Ks. And then as we started training a little bit, I'd run with them on Sundays. I'm like, huh, I bet you I could do 9 miles. And then, you know, the runner's math starts clicking in through your head. And it's like, well, if I could do 9 miles, then well, I could do a half marathon. That's only four yeah. more miles. That's nothing. But I was very, very adamant about how I would never run a marathon. Because the big thing that I always said was, you need to eat and drink, you need to fuel while you're running a marathon, or you're not going to. And I'm like, your body's not made to run a marathon. You're not meant to do it. Half marathon is the max you can do without actually ingesting more and stuff like that. So I was out with some friends that had all run marathons. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm never going to do that. Like, it's just not, it's not in the cards. You aren't supposed to run a marathon. And the day after we were at a concert, the day after we got back, I'm laying in bed in the morning and I'm like, son of a gun, I'm going to run a marathon. And that was kind of my dialed in focus ever since that. That was the fall of 22. So after that, I very quickly signed up for the Buffalo Marathon was going to be our first one in 2023.
Oh, cool.
So, I signed up and I'm like, all right, we're going to do this. I didn't really even know about training plans or anything like that. At that point, I can run with friends. Like, I couldn't race a half marathon, but I could get 10, 12 miles under my belt. And I'm like, all right, we got this, we got this. And then one day I was like, huh, as much as I am a nerd about information, I should probably start gathering a little bit more, because I don't think I'm going to go from 10 miles one day to 26 in a month or two from now. So I found, like everyone says, the Hal Higdon Marathon Guidebook, and I picked it up and I flipped open to the back with the, you know, the basic training plans that are in the back. And I'm like, well, there was the beginner plan, the 1 and 2. I'm like, eh, well, they all involve cross training and things like that. Well, that's no good. And I looked at the intermediate and the same. And I'm like, yeah, that's no good. And then I opened up to the advanced, because, you know, I've been running for 4 months. I'm advanced enough.
Yeah, clearly.
clearly that's nothing. And I see there's no cross training, because I don't cross train. I'm, as far as I know, I'm still invincible. I'm not entirely sure. But I'm like, yeah, who needs to cross train? Who needs to worry about that? Yeah. So I found one of the advanced plans and I'm like, all right, that's what I'm going to go by. And that's what I did. Which I followed. It was an 18-week plan, and I followed. I kind of broke it all out, and the only thing that I did was, instead of running 6 days a week, I take one of the days and just spread those miles across. So I had 2 rest days every week, and I did my speed days on Thursday was always my speed day, and on Saturdays were either a medium long run, or they were a mile, or they were that medium run with marathon pace miles. Sunday was always my long run. I just, everything was all about habit. Let's get into the routine. This is how it's going to be. I always took Monday and Friday off, and I'm like, we're just going to make this work. We're going to make this work. But of course, I still never strength trained or cross trained or anything like that. And then somewhere about week 12, I was out with my one friend, Tawny, who is a monster of a trail runner. Like, she goes out and does, you know, 60, 70, 80 mile races all the time, just for fun, because she's like, she doesn't tell you about it. You just look at her Strava one day and she's like, oh, Tawny ran 90 miles yesterday. Oh, that's
casual.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm barely getting through on 6, but yeah, she did 90 miles. That's good for her. Again, new to running, she says to me this one day, hey, Trevor, race you down this hill. And I'm like, well, of course I'm going to race you down this hill. I'm going to beat you down this hill. So I take off full out and I bomb it down the hill. And I never realized that running downhill is awful in your quads.
Mm-hmm.
So that ended up with a quad strain.
Mm.
All right. So I took a week off and I'm like, all right, we're still not out of the woodwork yet. We're still not out of the woods yet. And then I realized that if I altered my stride a little bit, I could run through it after 2 or 3 miles. So all my runs would start off, I'd be running on almost my tiptoe, my left foot. And after about 3 miles, it would loosen up. And I'm like, all right, we're good. Until I was on my third 20 miler 3 weeks before the marathon, and I stress fractured my ankle.
Oh no.
And there was not running through a stress fracture.
Right.
So, and at that point, the Airbnb had taken the money out of my account. It was too late to defer till next year. So me and the family are going on a trip to Buffalo, and we have a giant Airbnb that I had a couple friends that were going to come and cheer me on. They're like, well, if you're not running, I don't think we want to come to Buffalo. We all have a family, and they couldn't really justify just going to Buffalo
sure.
to hang out. So there was a couple of us that went to Buffalo, and I spectated the marathon, and I had a great time. And as I was spectating that, I realized, oh, I need to be a part of this someday. So as soon as the new sign up for the next year was on, I signed up for the 2024 Buffalo Marathon. And then I said after 6 weeks, my stress fracture had pretty much resolved itself and I was able to start running again. And I started thinking, I'm like, well, I'm 40 years old now. I still kind of want to run a marathon while I'm 40, but I'm not exactly sure which one I'm going to do or anything like that. So Harrisburg's about an hour south of me here, the capital of Pennsylvania, whatever. And I had talked to some friends that had ran it. They're like, you can drive right down, you park, you're 100 yards from the starting line. It's real easy to get in and out. Fantastic. So I guess I'm going to start training for Harrisburg in the fall. So I took that same Hal Higdon plan and still didn't learn my lesson and
ran it back.
Didn't worry about the strength training or anything like that, but I gave myself 2 days a week and I'm like, all right, we're just gonna not race anyone down a hill this year. And we're gonna keep at this. So I followed that plan. I still have the white clipboard or not like the poster board. I wrote all my miles out and everything. I write my average heart rate of each run and stuff
oh,
like
wow.
that. And track it all the way down. And lo and behold, I ran a couple 5Ks in the fall beforehand. I actually lifetime PR'd some 5Ks like from before, like from high school was the last time
oh,
I
wow.
ran one. I beat my high school times at 40 years old. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm really kind of onto something here. And then along comes marathon date and everything went well. I don't know if I'm jumping quite ahead now, but we're already at Harrisburg Marathon. And I'm going to say the down parts of that were the last two speed sessions that I did before Harrisburg Marathon, I need to call and get a ride home because I just totally bonked out on them. I had.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, and it's one of those like, oh, you know, I'm going to try and do 10 miles at pace. And on my eighth mile, I fell apart. No, it was like 3 miles in, I'm already out of it. I'm like, how am I going to run 26 miles when I can't run 4 miles at this? Do I have my pace set too high? Do I think am I going to get humbled real quick? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of those like, well, you kind of got to trust the process now because you're 3 weeks out. What are you going to do? You can't redo everything that you've just done. So you kind of got to hope that it's been working for you. And that's kind of what I did. And I'm as happy as I am with my first marathon experience. I have points where I'm disappointed, but I'm overall through the roof with my first marathon.
Nice.
So
no, that's fantastic. Yeah, I appreciate you walking through both experiences too, because I do want to ask, like, I know you only have technically one official marathon on the books, but you really ran two full training cycles for your marathon. So like, what was the difference between the two since you had that unique experience?
So I started, I said, I think I had ran somewhere around from August when I started running through December. I ran 500 miles and I would run with the local run group a lot of mornings and stuff like that. And the one girl that I ran with, who's again, another monster runner in this area. She's always Boston qualified. Like she's right. So she, when we finished that year, she's like, oh, I ran, you know, 2000 miles for the year. Wow. And I'm like, I started thinking, I'm like, I think next year I'm going to run 2024 miles before 2024. That's going to be one of my goals. I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to run that many miles. Just kind of blanketly throwing these things out there. This is clearly before I got hurt, but it was nice. I think I built a lot of fitness and learned a lot of good habits in my first cycle, and then up until the point where I got hurt. And honestly, I'm half all right with it. There'll be more to that then too. But so I got hurt, and then I realized I need to take the expectations off myself, and I'm just going to run this next one. However I end up, I end up. I'm not going to push anything stupid or anything like that. And that's kind of what I did. So then when I went into the second one without the weight of myself, it seemed like so much more freeing, so much easier. Like I just worried about running. I didn't worry about how fast too often. I still tried to hit my speed sessions and stuff like that. And I was actually doing work for one of the local cross country coaches in the area. And I was saying, hey, you know, I'm running and stuff like that. I'm thinking about running Harrisburg. I'm signed up for Harrisburg in the fall. And he had told me about Yasso 800s. If you're not familiar, it's where you do 10 800s. You do whatever you run your 800 in is the amount of time you take to rest and recover in between. So whether you walk or slow jog or whatever. And then he said that whatever the slowest time of 800 that you do is supposed to be a marathon predictor.
Oh, wow.
So
that's cool.
I was roughly where I thought I could be going off those Yasso 800 and stuff like that. So that's kind of what paces I'd keep in mind and what kind of workaround I would keep in mind. I told myself I wasn't going to be one of those that just, oh, I feel good, I'm going to take off. And then, oh, why am I dead at mile 10? I still have a lot longer to go.
Yeah.
So I kind of kept that in mind a little bit. And like I said, I felt really good. I felt really confident. And then, like I said, you hit those two speed sessions and you die off at the very end of the training cycle. But like I said, taking the expectations off me, just wanting to finish it, I think was, you put so much pressure on yourself as a runner. You worry about everyone else. And honestly, nobody cares about your running more than you. Like,
absolutely.
You're not trying to impress anyone. You're not trying to, I mean, you can be trying to impress anyone, but nobody's paying attention to you. Like, they might look at your end results and say, hey, good job, but nobody's looking at you, you know, what's your heart rate on your fifth mile, on your 13 mile run? Like, you know, your heart rate spiked there, but nobody else knows. And I think a lot of it just goes to show that you put, like I said, you just put so much pressure on yourself, and you really just got to let go. And, you know, you should be lucky you're running. Like, so many people can't run. You should run for those that can't run. And for every person that, you know, you see these people and it's like, oh, I want to be faster like them. I want to be faster like them. There's people behind you that are like, oh, well, I wish I was as fast as you. And it's just this all like this cycle that just keeps going on and on. It really paid to let go and just, like I said, just run. I feel that's one of my big pieces of advice to anyone, whether you just want to start, whether you're stuck in a rut, like, just run. Like, if you can get up and put one foot in front of the other, just run. Doesn't matter how fast you're going, doesn't matter how slow you're going. That's the important thing. And if you put in some consistency, you're going to start seeing results. It's not going to be 1 week. It might be two. It might be 2 months. It might be 3 months. It doesn't matter. But if you're in it for the long haul and it's not trying to do some quick fix, you're going to see results. And it's really worth it once you start putting that work out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you said that about the perspective of, like, you're always going to be chasing the person in front of you. I think that that's a fantastic way to put it. And it's something that you don't realize that there's people that are watching your back at the same time that you're watching somebody else's back. So no, I think that's fantastic. And that's, I'm sure that your experience with your injury too kind of put a lot of that in perspective as well.
Absolutely. And that's with that same point right there, it's one of the other, like, I try to organize group runs a lot, and I don't want anyone to feel out of place. I want everyone to feel it does, because, you know, I suffered the same thing too. I was like, I'm not going to run with anyone else until I'm at least X fast. And I didn't for a while. But then I'm, you know, as much grace as I give everyone, like, I'd never give the grace to myself, but, like, I want everyone to run with me. And they're like, oh, well, I'm too slow to go with you guys. I'm like, I will run with you. I don't care if you're running 13-minute miles. I'm like, you're not going to be left alone. Nobody's going to slow up, or nobody's going to leave you. You're not going to be out in the middle of this run, have no clue where you're going. And even, you know, sometimes it's hard to stay back the whole time. So you run up and then you turn around and run back and you catch up and you check in on people and you make everyone feel welcome. And it carries so much weight. Like, seeing, oh, you know, he really cared. He does care about us. And he really means it when he says, hey, everyone can come run. Everyone can come run. If you're putting one foot in the front of the other, you can come run. And that's what's important. And it's all about kind of growing that community and fostering that growth. And I get just as much joy out of seeing other people hit their goals than I do hitting mine. Like, because, yeah, again, you get so wrapped up in yourself that sometimes it's just nice to sit back and be like, you know, that's all, you know, that's fantastic. You did great today. And it doesn't always have to be about you. There's plenty of time for you. Also, like, yeah, share that love and bring everyone else into it. And it's just going to build the community and make it more inviting for everyone else.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, people like that, people like yourself who are involved with run groups and maybe even lead or organize them are so important. Because you can really make or break somebody's experience. You could be the person who gets somebody into running, or you could unfortunately be the person that deters somebody from running. So it's a big responsibility, but it's great to have, and I'm fortunate to talk to a lot of people like you who, sure, are on the positive side of that coin. So I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. So
well, cool. Well, I want to talk about, I want to get to race day as well, but I wanted to touch just quickly on your recovery process when you had that injury, because I know a lot of people go through an injury period and it can be a bit scary on how you're going to bounce back and that kind of thing. So do you mind just kind of breaking down, like, what you were going through mentally during that period and what kind of kept you focused?
Mentally, I was ridiculously depressed, but I'll share a little insight. I am one of the many million Americans without insurance. So I'm like, all right, how do I navigate this injury and whatnot? And from what I gathered, and I have lots of friends that are PTs, so I was able to get some good knowledge and info from them and stuff like that. And I was lucky that it was just something I could let rest. They're like, if you stay off it, you're not agitating it for 6 weeks, it should heal up. So I just kind of knew that I'm like, all right, as long as it's 6 weeks, I can deal with that. I can live with that. Yes, I miss running. Yes, it sucks. I'm not going to get to do this marathon, but as long as it's 6 weeks, you know, I could just be zen about it. This is my sign that maybe I should start cross training and strength training. Maybe this is the sign that I should grow up a little bit, and it's not just running, and take it easier. So I went those 6 weeks, and like I said, I was fortunate enough that I could still walk on it. I didn't need to boot it. I didn't need to non-weight bearing. It was, only got agitated when I ran. So I just, I kept my diet in focus. I kept, you know, my, you know, fluid intake in focus. And I just waited the 6 weeks out. And then That first run back was the scariest run that I think I've ever done. Cause I'm like,
I'm
oh my gosh,
sure.
it's been 6 weeks. I'm like, I'm just gonna do an easy 3 miles on the treadmill. We're gonna see how this goes. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's no pain. We're a little rusty, but I think this is okay. And the next day I was like, all right, we're gonna do five, we're gonna do an easy five. We're not gonna push it, we're not gonna run. I didn't do speed work for probably about a month. I'm like, we're just gonna start building some miles and time on my feet, make sure everything's okay. And I was very, very fortunate that it didn't take any other, you know, exterior fixing or anything like that. I just had to give it some time, and I was able to run through it then, and I was well on my way. So it humbled me a little bit, which after I get through the marathon experience, you'll learn my next shortcomings, I'm sure. So I mean, I guess we could. You want to go to race day?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's break down race day. So I kind of like to start usually the week leading up, because I think that's when the nerves start to kick in, and that's when you start to really think, oh, holy, I'm going to do this thing. So what was the week leading up for you like?
So I topped out at 21 miles 3 weeks before.
Okay.
And then I had a 2 week taper, and then it was race day. But like I said, I was kind of in my head, because the last two speed sessions that I did leading up to that, I bonked out. I needed to get a ride. Like, it was not happening. And I was just in my head so bad. But I was like, all right, you know, like I said, you got to trust the process. So I tapered down. I think I had topped out at about 50 miles, somewhere in there. So the 2 weeks out, I dropped down to like 35 miles. I'm like, all right, we're feeling good. I don't have any of the taper pains that everyone talks about or anything like that. Everything's moving like it should, so we'll be all right. And then the week before, I think I topped out at, I did 20 miles, and then just, I think I topped out at 20 miles the full week before, maybe 25, somewhere around there. And I'm like, everything's still moving good. I don't feel injured. I'm like, maybe that was, you know, maybe those two speed sessions were just freak things that happened that were just not going to work out anyway. It has nothing to do with the past, you know, 12 weeks of training or anything like that.
Right.
And then the week of the marathon, that Saturday, I went for a 3 mile shakeout run with some friends, and everything felt good. We were talking about driving down, me and my wife and my son, earlier in the morning of, but there was a hotel literally not even 3/4 of a mile from the start line. So we're like, you know what? We're just going to go down. We're going to stay in that. Can walk to the start line then. I can do my warm up to the start line. And then I could just sleep an extra hour and a half longer or whatever. So we ended up, like I said, I, you know, and like at this point I'm reading all the books, and I'm carbo loading 3 or 4 days beforehand. I'm just, you know, eating all the pasta, all the fruit, not eating really burgers. I'm eating all the chicken, all the lean protein and stuff like that. I'm like, I guess we're going to do this. We're going to do this right. I, you know, laid out flat Trevor and took the picture and everything. And I was all ready to go for that. But no, I, like I said, besides those two bonked speed works, I felt fairly confident. I didn't have any pains. No, like, oh, how am I going to do this?
Sure.
Just trusting the process at that point, and I felt pretty good about it.
Good. Yeah, those last couple workouts, they can kind of mess with you depending on how they go. So I definitely understand that. Were those speed workouts, like, was it something that you were, was it at marathon pace, I guess is what I'm trying to say, or was was it a little bit different? So, okay, so it was
one was a marathon pace. I was trying to do, it was a 12-mile run with one warm up, one cool down, and then 10 miles at marathon pace. I think I made it to like mile 5, and already my heart rates spiked, and like I just wasn't pulling it back together. And I'm like, well, I'll just slow down 1 mile, and then I'll try for another 5, and I'll just add a mile on at the end for a cool down. And I tried that, and just, I think I cut it to like another 2 miles at pace, because I think my goal was to qualify for Chicago, because that was the most generous at the time of the world majors to qualify for. And there was actually I'm never going to go to Berlin. I'm never going to go to Tokyo.
Sure.
But Chicago, I could see a world where I could make it. Boston, I could see a world where I could make it. Even New York, because I'm East Coast here, so it's not atrocious. So I'm like, all right, we're going to shoot for Chicago. But yeah, I'm like, if I can't finish 10 miles at pace, how am I going to do this? Yeah. And then I think the speed workout before that was just 800s. Like 8 of them, 10 of them or something like that. And I made it to about 3.5 and I had to call and get picked up. Like I just had nothing left. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait. Can't wait to see how this marathon goes. But
yeah,
but the lunch that I had that day was sitting heavy and I still wouldn't take that as a reason for it. And you know, as far as the pace miles, I didn't have it that day. I don't know what it was, but that, like I said, that's all right. That's part of the process.
For sure. But easier said than done, for sure. But because I know it can rattle you a bit, but sounds like you were keeping the end goal in mind still, which is good. And then what was kind of going through your head come, you know, day before and race morning?
So the night before, I had a couple of my cross country friends came up to Harrisburg. Most of them were in the Philadelphia area. They came and they got a hotel and they're like, hey, you know, we're going to come root you on. And we went out to a pasta dinner and stuff like that. And they went back to their hotel rooms and partied probably a little bit. And I just went home and went to bed. I think I was in bed at 9 o'clock the night before. And
that's good.
I think I woke up at 5 in the morning, race day. And I did all the morning stuff and I ate a s'mores Pop-Tart, and I ate I didn't use them for full-time my fuel or anything like that, but when I was on the gas station on the way down, they had those pack of honey stinger waffles, not the individual ones, but I'm like, I'll eat a couple of those, I'll eat a banana, and that's going to be my, you know, pre-race meal. I slept really good the night before. I wasn't up too much. I was kind of, I think at that point I was like, well, there's nothing you can do now. All you can do is go run it. And I was just kind of, however this is going to go out is going to go. And like I said, I woke up fine. I ate my little bit of a breakfast and I'm really big on the element for the electrolytes. Mm-hmm. I drank a little hand jug of one of those and I'm like, oh, I guess this is going to be go time here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So,
and then made your way to the start. Were there any logistics with this one? Sounds like it's a little bit of a more local race, so maybe it's a little easier.
It was literally walk out of my hotel room, cross one street, and then maybe 3/4 of a mile to the start line. So
that's perfect.
I use that as a half mile to jog, and then I'm a distance runner. I don't warm up as much as I should. I don't stretch as much as I should. So yeah. I did my easy jog over there and I did a couple leg kicks and hip rotations and stuff like that. Stretched out my calves a little bit, but it was pretty much going to be go time as soon as I, you know, not as soon as I got there, but I was ready for it when I got there. And the thing with Harrisburg, what they do is they let the walkers start an hour before the marathon. And then the marathon starts and there's a half marathon at the same point. It's just two loops. So, and which was also nice to know because we kind of figured out, one of the logistics to figure out was, even though it says, you know, hey, this is nutrition stuff we're going to have on course. Somebody when I first started running said, if you're going to do a marathon, practice how you're going to run the race. So if you're going to wear a belt, wear that, you know, speed belt, spy belt, whatever, every time that you run. If you're going to wear a vest, wear your vest every time that you run. I carry a hand jug with me. If I'm going any more than 3 miles, I carry a hand jug with electrolytes because I sweat like it's nobody's business. So it was nice to figure out this is how the laps go. So I had my wife meet me. Well, I knew about where she was going to be and she had my other hand jug. I had two of them. So I carried one for the first half of the race and I knew I was going to be able to switch out halfway through. And I think that was kind of a, an aid to me, and it kind of really helped the day go smoother.
Yeah, that's helpful for sure. Have somebody who's going to carry something for you. Yeah. For those first 13, well, I guess let's just break down the first 13. What was the first half of the marathon like for you?
So going into it, again, I'm like, all right, we're reading all this. Here's what you're going to do. We're going to start off slower. So I made up the plan. The fastest pacer was a 325 pacer.
Okay.
So my plan was I'm going to stay behind him for the first 2 miles, and then I'm going to work up to him for the next 2 miles, and then I'm going to hopefully get in front of him and never see him again.
Okay.
So that was the plan. Now, the start ended up being off like 10 minutes, so we're all standing around, and like everyone had done all their, gone to the bathroom. There's like some woods around there, and all of a sudden everyone's running over because it's getting delayed 10 minutes and just going behind trees. And I, guilty as charged, I'm like, all right, we're good, we're good, we're good. So I went back in, and the gun goes off, and I take off, and I'm like, all right, there's the 325 pacer, just settle in behind him and let's go. So I'm following behind him. And, everything's going exactly according to plan for the first mile. I look down at my watch, and I'm like, 7:45 or something like that. I'm like, all right, this is too slow for me. I'm feeling too good. It's time to throw everything to the wind. And what better way to race than to just light fire to caution and just go?
Yeah.
So I moved up and passed the pacer a little bit. And naturally, as any first marathoner does, my first 13.1 miles was my PR on a half marathon, because that's definitely what you want for your first marathon. And the other thing that was kind of neat going on with the Harrisburg Marathon is, they have the half marathon going at the same time. There's also a relay going. And some of my friends from my Shamokin Sunday Runday Funday group were doing the relay. So they were spread out over the course too. So I'm running along about a couple miles in, and I look at this sign that says something like, go Trevor or something like that. I'm like, huh, there's other Trevors running this. And then I look and I'm like, oh, wait a second, that's my buddy holding that. Oh, they made up signs for me. That's awesome. So
yeah,
it was,
what a cool feeling.
It was a cool game of, find the Trevor sign. And they had some inside jokes from cross country back in high school, this is still written on some of the signs. There was pictures of me. Like it was a lot of fun. So I had my friends, they were all over the course, and then the people in the relay, I'd be out, you'd be out a couple miles away from where you'd see all the spectators that you knew, and I'd hear, let's go Trevor, you're looking good, you're doing good, and hey, it's Jordan, or hey, it's Kat, whatever. So it was nice hearing that encouragement coming from all around the course then, at different points. But yeah, the first half of the marathon was phenomenal. I was, like I said, I PR'd my half marathon. I am doing good. I'm on pace for where I want to be. I'm following my fueling plan. Everything's going exactly how it's supposed to. The one thing about the Harrisburg Marathon, like I said, I've only run one marathon. It is a fast course.
Mm.
There's not much elevation. There's enough spectator support everywhere. Like, it's going to keep you moving. However, there is a mind-numbingly boring stretch where you just run north along the river and then turn around at a cone and just run south the same track back along the river. And it really tests the mental patience of you. Like, it's just because you're going along a slight curve and everything kind of looks the same, and you're just waiting for anything to be different, and it's just not there, and it's just not there, and it's just not there. But like I said, at that point, I was still cruising along pretty good. I was still moving. Like I said, I was hitting all my fueling plans and stuff like that. I was drinking through my hand jug. I was doing all right. So I got back, I switched off hand jugs a mile before halfway point, and I'm like, all right, we're on to the real part of the race now. Now it's been fun. You had your fun. Now let's see what racing a marathon's really like. So I was, like I said, I was I probably should have slowed up a little bit. Shouldn't we all?
Yeah. Details.
Figure it. We'll figure it yeah. out when we get there.
Exactly.
So I started on the second loop, and this probably about halfway through that loop is where I started to notice. So I think it was around. I looked at my splits and checked them out beforehand. I always have one earphone in. I'm always running with music. And what I do is, so my goal was to do under a 3.5 hour. Like, I had further goals, but I'm like, we're doing under 3.5 hours. So I made a 3.5 hour playlist. And I'm like, my goal is to beat this playlist. I know if when I finish this race, before I look at my watch, if there's still music in my ear, I beat my goal. Fantastic.
I like
that. The other nice thing is it reads off your mile splits. So I'm, like I said, my first split was easier, and then I accelerated and I'm like, all right, we're doing good. I'm hearing my splits. I'm like, we're good. And they're all within 10 seconds of each other. And then comes mile 18. And that's where that wall just kind of, it didn't quite hit me that hard, but like, so mile 18 comes around, my effort feels no different whatsoever, uh-huh. but it was like 30 seconds a mile slower. Mm. I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'm like, I needed to slow down anyway. That's fine, you know. And then mile 19 was 30 seconds slower than that last one. I'm like, all right, the effort's still not changing. Like, I'm not really feeling like I'm doing anything different. I'm like, all right, we'll be all right, though. This is where we'll slow out at. And then I have a pace in my mind that, going by my long runs, I'm like, if you are brain dead, if you have nothing left, you can't think of anything, you can still do this pace. I'm like, all right, well, I'm waiting for that number to hit. Well, all of a sudden we're past that number and I am not doing that pace anymore. And I'm like, all right, this is getting a little slower. This is getting a little harder. Each mile, it's like 20 seconds slower, 30 seconds slower, 20 seconds slower. Next thing you know, like I was running, we said that first half, I was well under 8 minute miles. The next thing you know, I'm hearing 9 minutes on my earphone. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a struggle. And then somewhere around mile 22, I was on pace for my last fuel. I was using the glucose packets at the time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I really like them because, you know, they have the same 100 calories and stuff like that, but it's just like a melted popsicle. It doesn't have that gel mouthfeel or anything like that. It's really easy. So like, as far as taste and feel go, I felt great with them. I hit mile 22 and somewhere about there, I'm like, oh, why do I feel nauseous? And I'm like, oh, it's because my fueling is on zero at this point. And I thought about it. And the thought of taking that last glucose packet was like, no, like, I'm just going to throw this up if I,
yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to do that to myself. Got 4 miles left. I'm just going to grind it out. There's nothing I can do now. Like, I should have had 3 or 4 more throughout the race. Maybe I would have been saved a little bit, but it was, like I said, I was feeling it. And then, so after that last mind-numbingly boring stretch back, you come from the river, kind of, you know, uphill, 50-foot incline or something. It's not huge,
sure.
But
yeah, not bad.
Definitely at mile 21, 22, you know. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk up this hill. I haven't walked the whole race. I'm like, I'm just going to walk up, catch my breath. I'll be good. So I literally do 3 steps. My quads turn to jello. And the instant math is, if I don't start running again, I am never going to run another step of this race.
Right. That's the worst feeling too.
So it was just, well, I guess it's time to just kind of, you know, close your eyes and
stick through it. Yeah.
Hopefully the music's going to carry you through and just go. And I just kind of buckled down and my heart rate's spiking. And we said, there's nothing you can do, but just kind of gut check yourself and finish off where you wanted. So I remember coming back across the river, and you come across the river and then kind of like down around the exit ramp and then straight into the finish line around a little loop. I'm like, all right. So I had a little bit left to kick at the end and I got through. I'm like, holy crap. I just finished a marathon. And I'm like, what checklists do I have in my head right now? Well, don't stop now. You're going to cramp up and it's not going to be pretty. Find yourself yeah. something to eat. Drink some more. Like, just going through all the lists that I can think of. I'm like, how can I do this and be successful and still be moving the next day? So I walk through the finish chute and they give you your medal. And I'm just kind of at that point, like, I had that runner's brain fog going on. I have no clue what's going on. Like I said, all that I know is I just finished this. You know, people have called my name. I'm walking right past them. I'm like, holy crap. Holy crap. That was just a marathon.
Yeah.
And then I stopped my watch somewhere in there and I checked and I missed my goal, by 2 minutes and something.
Hey, that's pretty good for your first one.
I couldn't have been happier. And like I said, yes. it's one of those, like, am I upset that I missed qualifying for Chicago? Sure. But I just, you know, ran 3:20s for my first marathon. That was,
yeah.
that is phenomenal. Like, you can't be upset now. You can be upset about it later, but, like, you just did a big thing.
Absolutely.
So I finished and I, you know, worked my way and I, you know, what do you run a race for? A medal and a banana. So that's
exactly. Yep. So I went and got my, maybe if you're lucky.
got a tech t-shirt that I can run in the winter and stuff like that. But
perfect.
No, it was pretty surreal. Like I said, it took me for a while for it to sit in that, like, oh, I just did this. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just ran a marathon. And I just kind of zoned out. And then finally, I probably walked about half a mile. I'm like, all right, now it's time to sit down. I don't know that I'm ever going to get up again, but it's time to sit down.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I sat down and then I was kind of like the relays finished their part of it and stuff like that. And they're all gathered around and my friends that came over and gathered around and they're like, hey, can I run and get something for you? Hey, do you need anything? I'm like, everything. I just need a minute right now. And you know, that
yeah,
minute,
everything and nothing all at once.
Absolutely. And that minute probably turned into 20 minutes. And I'm like, all right, you know, two hands help me up and it's going to take a little bit of hiking to walk. You know, you don't realize on the way into the marathon in the morning that 3/4 of a mile to the hotel room was might as well have been next door. Walking back, that was
an entirely
different story. But no, like I said, I felt good with it. And I'm pretty happy. I didn't have any mysterious chafing or anything like that. Like I said, I was on top of all my checklists and I glided up everything that needed and I was no pain. Like the shower afterwards, which I could have melted in, was not one of those painful showers like we've all witnessed sometimes. I'm like, oh, I missed a spot. Like it was
right.
It was phenomenal. So I was like, wow, I guess I'm going to have to do that again at Buffalo next year because I'm already signed up for it.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask. Was that where you were already signed up for your Buffalo marathon at that point?
Already signed up for Buffalo before I had even decided on Harrisburg. But yeah, so I took my first experience and this is where I should have learned from my previous experience that I need to do strength training and cross training and stuff like that. So 3 weeks into my structured training for Buffalo, I strained a groin playing soccer and had to miss Buffalo again this year. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's always something. You always just have to be ready to roll with the punches for sure when you're like, in this world.
Because I was like, oh yeah, you know, you're supposed to strength train, but look at how well I killed that first marathon without strength training. I just say that I really need to do it. That was just a freak accident. And then it happened again. So, and here we are.
and here we are in your next training cycle, right? You're gearing up for another one here.
I'm gearing up for Philadelphia in the fall, the week of Thanksgiving. So that was the furthest out that made the most logistical sense to get to.
Yeah.
So I think it's 19 weeks away tomorrow or something like that. So I haven't really structured it yet. I haven't written it down, but it's like I ran a 5K this morning and we're just getting ready, just kind of getting those baselines and
yeah,
gonna get back into it here a little bit.
Very exciting. No, that's awesome. Thanks for walking through that whole experience. That was, all things considered, coming off a couple injuries, having kind of a bit of a, not rocky's the wrong word, but a bit of a, you know, a different training experience the first and second time around. It's your marathon experience. Sounds like it was fantastic. So that's great to hear.
I'm through the roof about it. Like, yeah. For me to say that I'm anything but pleased and happy with it. Like I said, it's just a disservice to people that want to run marathons. And, you know,
absolutely.
Like you said, I look at people that are faster than me and people I'm faster. Like, so, you know, for those faster people, yeah, you know, whatever. But like for the people that want to get faster, you know what, like me saying that I did bad is just an insult to them. Cause like I said, we're all out here just trying to step in front of, put one foot in front of the other and go.
Absolutely. Yep. All of our goals are different. So keep the sport very individual. Your goal is not somebody else's goal. 100%.
We all run for different reasons. We all have our different why. And no, it's been a great experience. I guess I could swing back. The only reason that I was able to stick to this experience, I got sober a couple years ago. Like I said, I drank way too many beers and smoked way too many cigarettes, and I was in an accident, self-induced, and I ended up having to get sober 7 years ago. And I know that I couldn't have done that if I would still be drinking or anything like that. Like, just,
yeah.
I think that's one of the things, like, I needed a little more structure to my life. And I think that 100% running and getting that much of a nerd into the running and looking at all the numbers and, you know, all the heart rate and all the calories and everything like that, making sure I'm hydrated enough. I think that focus, and that structure is something that I needed that I never would have been able to do before.
Yeah. And then to have it all come to fruition for in a marathon experience is just 10 times
sure.
over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And I'm excited to hear kind of like what you're thinking for changes for your second time around. Because now you've got, well, I say second, feels probably like three or four for you since you've gone through so many cycles.
The fourth time around.
Yeah.
So I didn't bounce back from the groin strain as fast. So I'm going to try the whole, I'm not putting any expectations on myself again, because I think that worked out for me last year. I know with, so when I was doing Buffalo before I got injured, I was on a 18-week plan with 16 weeks and then 2-week taper. And until I realized I was going to do Harrisburg, I ended up on a 12-week and then 2-week taper. And that was perfect for me. Like I said, I was absolutely through the roof with how that all ended up. And then got injured again for Buffalo. So at this point, like, there's part of me that wants to start really buckling in now, and there's another part that says no, just run, just get base miles in, maybe do a speed work here or there, you know, focus on it, wait till you're 12 weeks out, 14 weeks out, and really kind of this way you don't get those overuse injuries and stuff like that. And I know that's what most of it came from. I was always teetering on something was going to go wrong,
right?
And then, like I said, I'm also fortunate that everything that went wrong I was able to solve with time. Just, you know, as much as it stinks to not run, I'd rather, you know, take a couple weeks and be able to run the rest of my life as opposed to take a couple weeks, push through it, and then end up with something more serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. And it's good that you've kind of had enough experiences at this point to know that you can shorten a training cycle like that. And that's what's going to be best for your body. Because I think for your first marathon, especially, you don't know that information. You don't have that information yet. So you are just kind of throwing everything and hoping, you know, just seeing what sticks.
Sure.
And then the second, third, fourth time around, that's when you can really drill it down. So that's great. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes.
I'm looking forward to it too. Like I said, I haven't even decided, like, if I'm even going to shoot for a time, like, if I'm just going to, but throughout my conversation, and like I said, I'm always trying to foster in new runners and stuff like that. One of my friends from college, one of my fraternity brothers, turned 40 this year, and he wants to run a marathon. So he's going to be running Philadelphia with me. So he's going to be a good story. And just, like I said, I'm a nerd. I look at all the numbers. He's going to be so fast. It's probably going to upset me a little bit, but like I said, I, I think I'll be more proud for him than I will be upset for me.
For sure. Yeah, that's great. You're getting people in and he gets to run it with you even cooler. So that's fantastic. Well, cool. So I think the last couple of questions I really have for you are just more kind of data points that I've been asking at the end of these interviews.
Oh, I'm prepared.
These are questions that I had when I first started running, or first started training, I should say. And they're questions I get pretty frequently. It's about fuel and about shoes for the most part. I always give the kind of disclaimer that, you know, this is your own journey. I'll say it every time. Trial and error is going to be your best friend for fuel. Try everything and find what works for you. Same thing with shoes. But for you personally, what do you really like for fuel?
For fuel, when I ran my first marathon, I ran it on those glucose packets, which they're just, you know, they're the same size as the gel or whatever, but they're just liquid. They still got the calories and everything. But also, I did one long training run beforehand, and my training plan was good for 16 miles, or no, it was 18 miles. It wasn't good for, you know, 20s. I needed to fuel more. So at the point, like I said, that I was feeling nauseous, you know, coming up to the end of it there, like I'm now turned off from them. I can't even look at those glucose packets anymore.
Yeah.
So right now I've been working with, there's two that I really like. There's the Untapped maple syrup.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They have electrolytes. Some of them have caffeine. They've been phenomenal so far. They're easy on my stomach. They don't upset it much. And then there was the Bare Nutrition supplements, like the Go Gels, which are just kind of the first one that he had is the only one that I tried so far. It was just kind of like an applesauce consistency. And I really like that a lot. I think one of those two or both of those two are going to be my fuel for the next one. I don't like any of the gummies. I find that they're just too hard to chew. And I just, they do not work for my body. So I stay away from them. But like I said, I do the Untapped, which it's just maple syrup. I got the coffee flavored ones. They taste phenomenal. They have electrolytes. They have caffeine. They're all that I need. And like I said, that Bare Nutrition supplements like have been phenomenal too. And it's just like a go-go squeeze packet. They've been great.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll have to check out the Untapped. I've heard of it, but I for some reason forgot about it until you just mentioned it. But I've heard good things about that one too.
Sure. And then as for the shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not quite like, oh, I got 75 pairs of marathon shoes, but like here's the rotation that I keep. I usually keep 1 to 2 pairs of the New Balance 1080s. I ran, even with the injury and stuff last year, I hit my 2024 goal and stuff like that. I would always switch between 2 pairs of the New Balance 1080s. They are phenomenal for me. They have enough cushion, but they're light enough that they're not snapping back like a carbon plated shoe or anything like that, but they hold up to my everyday running. They've been my go-to all the time. My big thing, when I first started running, I went to a shoe store and got fitted, and they gave me 2 shoes to try. They gave me a pair of Hokas, and they gave me a pair of the Brooks Adrenalines.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hokas had a heel-to-toe drop of 5. And for whatever reason, I would try running in that heel-to-toe drop, and it hurt my hip. Like, I had to take 2 weeks off running after that. But, you know, the running store is phenomenal that, you know, you keep your box, you're able to return them.
So yeah, that's great. Them.
They gave me a pair of the Brooks Adrenalines, and they were like a 12, and they hurt the fronts of my shins really bad. That didn't work for me. What I had started running in was a pair of Brooks Revel, which is an 8. So everything I've gotten since then has been an 8. So my daily trailer that I run in is New Balance 1080s. They're an 8mm drop. They are phenomenal for me. For me, preface that.
Yes.
And then I have a speed day / like 5K day shoe. I run in the Saucony Endorphin Speeds.
Yeah, I love 3s.
I run in them from all my 5Ks, 10Ks, and even that 9-mile run is all the, you know, the Endorphin Speeds. very cushy. I like that snapback. And then for marathon big race day, I had a pair of the Endorphin Elites. And they are literally just, you're strapping your shoe or your foot into a cloud on a rocket ship. The snapback that you get from that carbon plate. I have some friends that have been like pushing for time goals in their next one. Like, honestly, if you're not running in a plated shoe and where you're at, like, it could be worth looking into. And, you know, maybe that's why I ran that one so fast, because the shoe did all the work. But I'm a big believer in those for the appropriate. Like, you're not going to see me showing up to a 5K in them or anything like that.
Sure.
I'll just show up and run them, whatever. But like,
yeah,
I like on those long miles, you know, when you're grinding them out at the end there, like just having that little snapback was absolutely, absolutely key.
Awesome. No, those are all great. I love the Saucony shoes for speed. I am a really big fan of those.
Yeah.
Brooks, I'm also a big fan of. I need to get into the New Balance stuff, because I've had a couple of people who recommend New Balance and swear by them. Just something I've never tried, but I got to give it a shot, because you're probably number 20 at this point.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
brought it up.
That's what I hear. Everyone on the show, because I've listened to every episode. Everyone's like, I swear every other one's like, oh, I run a New Balance. I'm like,
there's another
one for Team NB. But the pro. At least that I'm all about the 1080 version 12. The version 13 that just came out has a 6mm drop. And now I'm kind of gun
different.
Shy. I'm like, oh, that's not what everything I run in is an 8, you know?
Yeah.
And I know they say you're supposed to mix it up, and it's, I'm just kind of stuck in my ways, and I'm kind of stubborn. And I just, if it works for me, it works for me. And that's what I keep doing.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think that's helpful probably for injury too, to just kind of stick to what you know. And if it works, why change it?
Absolutely.
Well, sweet. Well, I appreciate you walking through all that. That was fantastic. I was
sure.
Just sitting here listening to your stories, like totally locked in. So appreciate you walking through everything.
Absolutely, Taylor. What are you doing? What are you doing next? Which one are you doing next?
So next I'm running. I was hoping to get into New York this year. I did not. So I found a race on the same exact day, hopefully to distract myself. So
okay.
November 3rd, I'm going to run the City of Oaks Marathon in
right,
Raleigh.
That's right. I did hear that. I did hear that. You said that on one of your earlier ones.
Yeah. So I'm in my training cycle now. You're right behind me. If yours is coming up on Thanksgiving. So
we'll be
going through it together.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see the progress.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Well, looking forward to seeing yours too. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
I am the quite complicated, my name on Instagram, it's just Trevor S. Swope. It's pretty much just pictures of, I tend to stick to like my routine is I post a picture after every run just to keep accountability and show everyone, hey, you know, you can get out here and do it. And then a lot of times, you know, at the end of the week, I'll take a picture of my whiteboard and just, this was my progress for the week. Here's everything all at one spot. And I'll just
love that,
you know, just kind of make it more visual for everyone else. And like I said, I'm always recruiting. I'm always trying to get people to strap on a pair of shoes and come out with us and log some miles with everyone.
Fantastic. Yeah, cool. Well, I'll link it in the show notes so everybody can see as well. But thank you again. This was awesome walking through everything.
Absolutely. Appreciate the time, Taylor.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.